Hey guys, welcome to episode 13, a podcast empowering women to heal, overcome trauma, and embrace change. Through our community, we strive to inspire women to create a future where they lead with love, confidence, and courage, helping break boundaries and reach new horizons. Hey guys, welcome to episode 13. Woo-hoo! Oh my God, I can't believe it. I know. I'm never going to get tired of doing that, guys. So just get used to it. But anyways, on today's topic, we are going to talk about why women stay for so long. I think that's a great topic. And just kind of go through a few of the reasons why, you know, we take so much and then we finally reach our breaking point and then we're done. And I would say, you know, I don't think there's any particular order in as to why women stay, right? But once we're out of that, I would say stupidity. But that's my opinion in my case, okay? But I would say the reason why women stay for such a long time is one of the big ones I would think is because we see the person for something they're not. We see them for what they could be, right? We see what their potential is. We see the good in them. And we hold on to that thinking that one day they'll change and that day will come, right? I'm trying to find the word for that. We see them for... No, it's not the potential. Yeah, actually the potential that they can be, right? So I would say, yeah, the potential what they possibly could be, because we obviously fell in love with them for a reason, right? We saw the good in them. And throughout the years, things, you know, people change and people change. So we stay stuck on when we first met them and the good that we saw, and, you know, I think the potential of what they showed us, the different version of them, right? And as we get older and we grow together, we can grow apart. And I believe that, you know, a woman has a tolerance unlike any other, because we can tolerate a lot. And but at the same time, what we allow is the more things that we let go or that we allow, the more that they will do. And it just becomes a repetitive cycle, right? I believe that we also stay because we are scared, fear, right? Fear of what people will say, fear of the time invested in the relationship, fear of what you've built with that person, fear of starting over, fear of what people may say, right? Family members, friends, maybe religious views, right? Sometimes based on your religion, it could come off as, you know, that's not acceptable, right? Or, you know, the fear of letting people down, family members. There's the struggle of that. In that sense, you're making others happy. You're not really making yourself happy. And I believe that this is why it's important for us to know who we are, what we like, what we are okay with, what we want in our lives and what type of life we want, because you're not going to allow others to dictate or have a say in how you should be living your life. Let me see. What's another reason? Codependency. The fear of being a single mother or a single father. What are some other reasons? Failure. You failed your marriage, right? What are some other reasons, Marlo? Did I cover all of them? Pretty much it, right? And the toxicity of their relationship is also what keeps you, because that's a trauma bond. Yes, you grow accustomed to the person. You're used to where you're at. Yeah, the fear of actually starting over. And like I said, you invested so much with this person. You build so much. You know each other's families, each other's friends. And you don't want to start over. And or maybe the thought of, what if I don't find someone that will accept me or love me, right? But I feel like all that leads back to, do you even know what type of love you want, how you want to be loved, or are you just taking what you're used to because you don't want to start over or you don't want change? Change is scary. New beginnings are scary, right? But like we said before, new beginnings can be so beautiful. It just depends on how you view it. But, you know, now, personally, me, out of my 13-year ex relationship, like I said, I don't know. Once those rose-colored glasses come off and you see the person for what they were in the relationship, what they brought in the relationship, how they loved you in the relationship, what they brought and what they lacked, right? I don't know. I look back and I'm like, dang, that was a lot. And it's hard not to feel dumb. It's hard not to feel like I allowed so much for the bare minimum. And we all do that. We all do that. We all have, you know, hopefully it's one, but we all have that one person that will, that we will let a lot of things go, right? And like I said, it's what you, the woman will allow, the man will do, the man will take it as far as the woman will allow. So the more that you let little things slide or just things in general slide, the more they're going to try to get away with. And that's very true. Because you let cheating, you forgave, right? And you believe in second chances, and they do it a second, and they do it a third, and they do it a fourth. And at that point, it's just part of the relationship now, because now you're in that, right? That's no, baby. After the first, maybe the second, if you want to give second chances, you know, that was maybe in my early 20s. But now you get one. And if you show me your colors, that's pretty much where it's done, to be honest. My tolerance has been filled. I can't tolerate it anymore. As soon as I see a pink flag that's turning red, I'm out. You have to be so, you have to be so aware. You have to observe, right? Especially when you're starting a date again, for those flags, those red flags, those pink flags. Pink flags, we've spoken, it are basically, when they're not red, but they're, you know, they're heading towards that. And it's little things that maybe you're kind of questioning, but you're not sure of. Those can lead to those red flags where it's maybe waving in your face and you're like, let me just disregard that, right? And I think that's the problem with a lot of us women, is that, especially if you're starting over or if you're back in the dating world, right? You kind of ignore some of those pink or red flags because, you know, you want to get back in the groove of things, or you're not healed, or you're not aware of your value, or you're not aware of what you want out of life. And no, not at all. Not at all. That's the thing, ladies. We do know you've been through the trauma, you've been through the toxicity of your ex relationship, right? Or situationship, or whatever it may have been that you were in. And you saw, now that you're out of it and you took those rose colored glasses off, right? Now you're able to see things for what they are. And now you see all the flags. So if you see those flags on the next person, why are you going to wave that and say, go ahead, let's continue to walk? Like, that's not, no. They're red. You stop there. It's a stop sign. It's red. It's a stop. you stop and you redirect yourself that way because you're not supposed to keep going forward. They're red flags. The problem with us women is that we ignore those red flags or we make excuses for those red flags, right? And then those red flags turn into a chaotic relationship, a toxic relationship. And it's kind of like, well, did you not see the flags when they were being waved at the beginning? But you're like, no, he wasn't that bad. He cheated on you, got you pregnant and left you. You saw the flags and you still continued. Yeah, we have to make sure that we stay. Yes. Baby daddy number three. Come on now, ladies. Let's get it together here. Okay. We have to start thinking with our logic. Stop thinking with emotion. Stop thinking with desperation. And you wouldn't be desperate if you knew how to love yourself. Let's be honest there. So at the end of the day, it really starts with you. Because if you know yourself, if you know, we've talked about this before, if you are in tune with who you are, if you are in tune with what you deserve, if you are in tune with knowing what you, yourself overall, not physically, not what you bring financially, not what you bring intellectually, just as a person all around, if you know who you are, there's no one that can come in and kind of question or shift you that will try. They're going to try. When you're out in the dating world, they're going to try. And you're going to meet all sorts of different characters. And a lot of them are clowns. Okay. Yeah, they're clowns. But it's up to you to make sure that you see those flags and walk away from those flags so you don't go back to where you were in your first relationship or your previous relationship, right? See, it depends. I think it depends. Well, let's think about it. I think for women in long term, it's the comfort. I think it's a comfort, right? It's a comfort. It's you're used to each other. Things are running the way they're running. You don't want to disrupt things. Maybe that's the way that you grew up in your household, you know, seeing that. So it's just a thing that will, I mean, you're supposed to ride or die because that's what marriage says, you know. But I think that people blur out whether it's religion or overall the values of marriage. There's no infidelity. So that shouldn't be, there's no abuse. When they say, till death do us part, it doesn't mean that you have to take all that until death do you part. And what I see a lot in the older generation, right, is that the woman will, most the cases, okay, the woman will sit here and take the husband cheating, having multiple affairs with different women and different children. And the woman is there waiting until he's ready to do it all with just me. And for this new generation, we're more aware, I would say. And for the next generation, which is what I would love to do, what I'm trying to do with my podcast, is to educate the young women that you don't have, that's not love. If you're religious, right? And, you know, it says that through thick and thin and till death do us part. You also have to, but it does, like I said, even in the church, they say, you know, you are able to work through abuse. You're able to work through cheating, right? But there has to be a lot of internal work done for that. And let me just say, religion is not something that I play with. I do have a connection with God, but for someone to use religion or you know, as a way to, yeah, their faith as a way to get away with things and then be like, forgive me, you know, I'm not that person anymore. I believe that it has to be, you have to do a lot of internal work, and that's healing, and that's going through your traumas, that's you looking at, literally looking in the mirror and reflecting on who you are, what you've done, taking accountability, showing action and change, not just saying it or using religion to get you by. That's what I believe. because, like I said, a lot of people, you know, hold on to their religion, and they say, you know, to death do us part, but you have to look at the fine lines. Okay, yes, you can go to therapy. Yes, you can go to counseling. Yes, you can go to your church pastor, you know, and ask for help and guidance and things like that. But it has to be work from both. It can't just be fully from one and 50% from the other, right? So real change takes time. Real change takes two people working through that and through the relationship, the hardships of what can people change. I do believe that people can change, but I believe it's hard. And I believe that both people have to be very self-aware and conscious of what they've done to one another, to each other, you know? So that's that, right? They say, I can say a lot of things, but what have you shown? I'm not a woman of words. I'm a woman of action. And I am now, I want that reciprocated. So my next partner that, you know, God hopefully will send me one day, I need action. I don't need words. I've got dealt with words for 13 years and they didn't do anything to me or for me. I'm healing from trauma as we speak. So words don't say anything. And I'm sorry doesn't fix that you got somebody else pregnant. And I'm sorry doesn't fix that you just threw me against the restroom door, right? So, and I'm sorry doesn't fix the emotional, psychological part of what your actions did to me. So the I'm sorry and the please forgive me, I'll show you change, and the inconsistency of they're going to be good for a week, they're going to be good for a month, and then they go back to their old ways because they can't truly change. It's just a manipulation tactic that I'm going to tell you what you want to hear, but I'm not really going to truly change because I don't know what that is, or I can't do that, or it's too hard to look at myself for who I truly am. And it's crazy because a lot of people can't look at themselves and see who they are because they have a lot of trauma or they've been through a lot of things in life that has made them who they are. And they've made those decisions off the traumas and the emotions that come with that. So they can't look at themselves for who they are and they could possibly not be a good person. And it's hard for people to accept, I am not a good person. I made her, him feel like shit. I broke them till they weren't anyone anymore and they didn't even know who they were. It's hard to accept that. I abused that person. It's hard to say that. It's hard to accept that. So imagine if they can't, that's why they say the first step to recovery, it's acknowledging and taking accountability. People can't do that. They can't. So if they can't do the basic, which is I did do that, and this is how I'm taking accountability and this is what I'm going to do moving forward. People can't, if they can't do the bare minimum of just speaking those words and actually believing those words, they can't change. Let's be honest. It's the lost cause. And there is those that can change. But like I said, it takes, you know, that's why they say that healing is not for everybody because... Let me tell you, healing, it's not linear. We've said that before. And it takes you in so many different directions. And there's so many layers. And there's so many emotions that you have never felt that you're going to feel and face. So not everybody could do that. And at the end of the day, healing means taking a deep, deep look inside yourself and rediscovering yourself at the age you are now and going through your childhood up until that age where you're at and seeing how your growth, your childhood, your traumas, your decisions in life have led to where you're at. And not everybody can do that. That's why they say not everybody can heal. You can maybe start it, but some don't finish it because it's too emotionally, psychologically, it's hard. It's a wave of, it's also, you know, facing sometimes facing that there is no closure for certain things, right? Traumas that will go unanswered because maybe the other person isn't there to give you closure. I recently, yesterday, discovered that closure is something that's internal. It's not from someone, just because someone takes accountability and they show change and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? It doesn't mean that person, you're telling me now that someone else is still in control of your emotions and that they're going to help you heal. That's not the case, because it's all internal. That's the thing that we have to understand. Everything is our decision. It's how we view things. It's the way that we choose to understand. Is it happening to me or is it happening for me? Right? So I think that a lot of people tend to walk around carrying their traumas, right? And playing victim their whole life, that is who they are. And they don't know how to separate their traumas of what happened to them to them being a victim, allowing yourself to feel all that, but moving forward from being a victim. So I think that it's learning the difference, right? But at the end of the day, you're the only one that can change that. And we've said that before in so many of the episodes. It literally starts with you. And I mean that. No one, your parents can tell you who to marry, what type of person to marry, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, it's what you want. Because if you go and pick someone to make someone else happy, you're going to be miserable because that's not what you want. So my thing is, like, I have one life and it was given to me. And I am learning that I am the director, producer, writer in my book. And no, I will from now on choose who walks in my life and who I allow to come into my space and what type of energy they're giving. And I am so quick now to, if I don't like your energy or how you're approaching me or how you're talking or how, et cetera, I will cut you off, because I've dealt with so much in my life that I don't have energy to exhaust on trying to be fake or trying to be people pleasing or just trying to coexist with someone. Am I going to be disrespectful? Of course not. But my thing is, like, my boundaries are so high and my standards, I have standards, which I think a lot of people, you need to have standards. We've talked before on the podcast about having a list of what you want in a person. And that is having standards. It just depends on how you want to see things or view things. And if you think about it, when we're young, our frontal lobe is not developed. It's not. We don't make rational, logical decisions. And any decision that you make alters your life tremendously. If you pass a red light and you hit a car, that's an instant decision that you just made and it changed your life. So what I'm saying is, like, you have to be very aware of the decisions that you're making. And that comes with logic, not emotion. And I've learned that at my age now. I don't think the way I thought 5 years ago. Or every stage is different. When you're 15, it's different. When you're 20, it's different. When you're 25, it's different. There is, what is it? Levels of growth in each stage and age of your life. And I just wish that the youth would understand that puppy love or that high school love turns into your co-parent or your biggest nightmare, to be honest. Because you think it's cute then, but my whole thing is, like, if I can spread a message, is be alone, talk to different people, right? But get to know yourself. get to, you don't know yourself at 18. You're still, if you think about it, let's break it down here. We are at home until we're what, 18, right? That's the average that people leave home, right? Or they go to college or whatever what they do, right? So then you're with your parents till then, and then you go and let's say you get a boyfriend or girlfriend at 18, you're never alone. So you don't know what it's like to be alone, and you don't know yourself alone. You literally went from your parents, and then you go into a relationship, and now you're at the beginning, your parents are thinking, you know, they're throwing you ideas, they're throwing you their values, they're throwing you what they believe in, what is right, what is wrong. This is what I want you to do with your life. This is what you should, you know, go get a job, et cetera, et cetera. Your parents are giving you ideas, right? Or whoever's raising you is giving you ideas. And then you go into your boyfriend or girlfriend. Now you have to, you know, you become, you're a relationship, so you become a union. So now you mesh your ideas together. And like I said, your frontal lobe's not developed at that time. So you're not very mature. You're not making very wise decisions. But it's puppy love. It's cute. If you were to take more time and get to know that person before we rushed into boyfriend and girlfriend and got to know, you know, their values or morals, the way they were raised, what are some of their traumas, what are their likes and dislikes? Because you might not have even the same taste in food. And that's an issue because there's always that whole thing. What do you want to eat? I don't know. What do you want to eat? Right. So there's that. There's so many layers to this. But my thing is take your time. Talk to different people. Get to know different, you know, personalities, different. You might like something that you don't have someone in common with, to be honest with you, because you like the change, right? It's just getting to know yourself and taking the time to not only get to know yourself, but get to know the person, because remember, that person can soon turn into your baby mama or your baby daddy, and they can be the baby mama or baby daddy of hell. And then you're going to go back to like, damn, how I feel so stupid. I never saw that. Or it was there the whole time and I just kind of missed it. And that's where, you know, the red flags come in. But I'll be honest with you, when I was 19, now that I go back and look at the flags, they were there. They were there. I just strolled right through them. There were stop signs everywhere. And I said, I'm walking right through. To me, they looked exactly. And I was young, but that's what I'm saying. Let life guide you. Don't rush into anything, because that is a life altering decision that you will make. And, you know, moving on from that, right? We got a little intense into that one. What was the other one? Is the woman gone emotionally before is the woman checked out emotionally before she's physically left? Yes. And I know that we hear that a lot, right? And yes, I feel like the way that it works is that we give so many chances and we allow them to show us different. And, you know, we also try to look at them for what they are, for what they can be, not who they really are. That after so much, you know, allowing so much and being put through so much, whether it be disrespect, whether it be infidelity, whether it be abuse, whatever it may be, right? It doesn't even have to be any of those. It's just that maybe you're growing apart and you just don't know how to leave. But after we're put comfort, right? Or like we said, you know, any of the first things that we said at the beginning. But I believe that we're emotional. As women, we're emotional and we're nurturers. We were born with that. And I think that we try to give as many chances before we're broken until we're finally out physically. And I think that the woman knows when she's been done, but she sometimes doesn't know how to leave physically, right? stupidity, ignorance, comfort, codependency, costumbres, you know? And it's, I think there's so many factors, children, you know, or like, there's so many factors, love. So you can think it's love. I mean, especially people that grew up in a that have a lot of trauma, to them, that could be love because they don't know any other type of love. So that toxic, unhealthy love that that person is showing you, to you, that is love. That's familiar, right? That's a perfect, yeah, it's familiar. So that's where you think you should stay. But your body, and I know your mind's telling you, go. You just don't know how to really physically do it, right? And that's why they say a woman, when she's done, she's done. It's because we've been through all the emotions and we've checked out way before emotionally. And psychologically, we've probably been beaten down to the point where we've had enough. It's kind of like what I said before. There's so much weight on you that you can't carry anymore and you feel like you're suffocating and you have to leave. If not, you're going to suffocate. And at that point, that's when you physically are like, I got to get out of here. Like your body, your spirit, like I've said before, is telling you, go. And at that point, that's when you're able to walk away. And, you know, you walk away, literally you leave everything behind. Everything. I left everything and I said, I got to get out. I can't mentally, for my mental health, if I don't leave this relationship, I'm not going to be okay because I'm not okay. And your body can tolerate so much. And I also believe that it depends on the person. I believe that, I might be wrong. Well, no, you know what? The stronger you are, I feel like the more you can take. Because it becomes a thing of like, and that's contradicting. That's contradicting. Okay. Because you take and take and take and take, right? But it's not a good strength. And that's where I feel like I realized I'm strong, right? But I didn't apply my strength for where it should have been applied.
Yeah. Because it was strong.
Correct. It's a different.
I don't think it's accurate. But yes.
What would we consider that?
I don't know what term, but I get what you're saying. I don't think it's strong. It isn't strong to go.
No, it's not strong to go through that. It, yes. I don't know what it is, guys. If you know it, comment it, okay? But, and then there's the people that have been broken down that just, they're passive, and I'm just going to stay there and take it. I don't know how to leave. I don't know where to leave. I don't have my finances. I don't have family. I don't. There's so many obstacles that are probably in the way for the reason for women probably staying too. That's another one. I think it's the obstacles of life, right? Where a lot of women stay for financial reasons, especially the stay-at-home wives.
But even if not, so why?
And that's what I, yes.
It isn't just pick up.
No. And that's the thing that I feel like people need to understand. At the end of the day, you're going to start over regardless. But my thing is, okay, and then I thought about this after, stay where there's so much added stress and you're still trying to figure it out, and you're just mentally not okay, emotionally broken, and you can't function, you're on fight or flight, you're literally like not okay. And then leave, right? Start over. But you don't have the weight of that. You just have the weight of getting a check, rent, getting a car, new problems that you can change. You change. This is weighing you down. It's so heavy. It's so heavy. You can't carry it. And you have stress on top of that. You're probably doing everything alone, but you have that added stress. As opposed to you already doing it alone, you don't have that added stress. You just have the regular stresses of life. So I think it's just pick which one, pick your battle. And I rather do it this way because I did it this way. Let me tell you that drove, it was not okay. I was not okay. And now I am learning to heal. I am in control of my own life, my own decisions. I get to be a happier parent, a more present parent. And I know that I will make better decisions next time. And I think we also have to learn of our past experiences. And that, like I said, it takes, sometimes we want to avoid it and not look back and move forward and just let's go on to the next relationship. But if you don't address your past and your traumas and that unhealed version of you, it's definitely going to, it's going to sink its way into the new one. And you just can't avoid not healing. You can't avoid traumas. You can't avoid being broken. You can't avoid that. You have to face that. That's a big one. That's a big one. But some people don't even know what healed is. They just, they know what trauma is, right? And they, like I said, they carry that trauma with them, but they don't know the difference on how, when you have trauma, you go into this victim mentality, and some people stay and some people move on. You have two choices. I believe in life, we always have two choices. Yes, no, right, wrong, right? And there's a good decision and a bad decision. There's a decision with logic and a decision with emotion. I think that it just, you have to weigh out your decisions and which one logically you think is going to be a better decision, not emotionally, because your emotions will hinder and they will not make the best decisions at all. Don't ever make a decision when you're emotional. Take time, take minutes, take hours, take whatever, however you feel that it takes you to what is that called? Calm yourself down to analyze something and make a logical decision. Do it, but don't ever make a decision off emotions. But I mean, that is my little intake on why women stay for so long. Let me know why you stayed for so long. Let me know what you learned after. Let me know where you are in life right now. Let me know if you're having difficulty overcoming it. Talk to me. I do reply. If you send me a DM, you send me a message, if you comment, I do reply. I try to be involved. And, you know, just give me a little 411 on you and what you've learned after or during your healing. You know, everyone's different, but we have a lot of similarities, believe it or not. We just have our own journey and our own path that we go through. But I hope that you guys got something out of this episode and that you enjoyed it. Thank you for your subscriptions. Thank you for your follows, your likes, and your shares. We appreciate you guys. And we will catch you in episode 14.